We keep a box of napkins at our church for crybabies. How many of you are going to go home and watch The Wizard of Oz? Does the song take on a different meaning? It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Things are in front of our eyes, and many times we don't see them. They're just there. Last night I mentioned the book, Carlos Sars. Now let me just say this, a little bit about this book. Thank you, Connie. Thank you so much. This is all I need right here. Thank you. Thank you.
I love it.
This is one of the books that, if you were coming to my office at home, I have hundreds and hundreds of books all around. But around my, I sat in a chair and I study, and around this.
You sat on the throne.
Well, it's back and forth. It's back and forth. I do not waste time. I am a very frugal person of time, so I don't think there's a place that you need to waste time.
She's not from the South.
No, you have to take advantage of time. So I have all of these books. Most people dare not even go in there because they're afraid they'll stumble up or fall, or because I have all of this. Some people call it a mess, but to me it's not. And so these are my teachers, and my teachers are some of them thousands of years old, and they're with me in there. So it's not a book to me. It is an energy that represents someone that I admire, someone that has altered and changed my complete being. So I have all of these books around me. This is one of the key books that I keep, that I use. But I would tell you up front, if you buy this book, it has a foreword by Greg Braden. This is a difficult read, so I would tell you up front, it's not an easy read. It does require a lot of research. So, So he is like, if you're reading from Alvin Boyd Kuhn, which the book I will read from this morning. Alvin Boyd Kuhn was a linguist that spoke seven languages, and as you've seen, I was awarded. That was my more than worth my trip here. I promise you, that book that was given to me last night, I have searched for that book and hadn't been able to find it. But that's Alvin Boyd Kuhn's doctrinal thesis that he did, that Mark and Kathy presented me with last night. And so I thank all of you so much, and I thank all of you for being so gracious and open. You have been for me a very open people, easy to speak to and to minister. And I thank you for that, because I've done this so many years that I can understand the breaks when you put them on and you stop me and I said something and you can't swallow it. I mean, I've spoken places and I knew that it's time that I need to kind of tuck it together and hold back. I haven't had that experience here, period. And I'm so glad that Barbara took the first step, courage. That's what the lion needs, and did this. So thank you. Thank you, Barbara and Lyle.
Yes.
Thank you for this. This has been, yes. This has been phenomenal. Thank you. Okay. Now, I'm not going to be able to stay on track. I like to follow a pattern, a plan. And I was rebuked one time, spoke in a place, and I was rebuked. They said, if what you're saying is really from God, you don't need all them notes and all them books. You just need to get up there and let it come out of you. And I said, great, I'm glad that works for you, but this works wonderful for me. I've done it this way for almost 40 years, so I use these. Now, I don't go back to them hardly ever and refer to them, because I guess I have a gift that has given me sort of, not a photographical memory, but pretty much if I put it down on pen, then I pretty well know it. I pretty well remember it. But I do that anyway, so that I can kind of follow a plan or a pattern, but I don't ever follow the plan and the pattern, because you caused me to get off on rabbit trails. Because, you know, it's sort of like when a child begins to cry, or when it begins to be hungry, it pulls on the mother's breast, and the mother's breast knows it's time for it to release the milk. And that's how you are. You've been pulling, and I can feel that, and so I appreciate that, and that gives me an openness. So thank you. You have been wonderful. I want to read this again. I didn't get to read all of it that I wanted to read in this book last night. So I'm going to open up, and by doing that, I'll just read this and start out. Now the ancients conceived of divine spirit as descending into matter through 3 1/2 kingdoms. Okay, here they are, 3 1/2 kingdoms. 1, 2, 3 1/2. So, and again, as I said last night, the Bible is a book about the rainbow. And the reason I said that is because the rainbow and the 7 colors in the rainbow is the theme throughout the scripture. And the reason I said that, in Hebrew, the number 7 is the number of completion and or perfection. That's why it opens with 7 yoms. The Hebrew word yom got translated for the word day. So when Frank Baum wrote that book, The Wizard of Oz, he wrote it out of a movement that was known as Theosophy, which the book that Mark gave me, the doctrinal thesis that Dr. Kuhn did, was on Theosophy. No one had ever gotten a doctrinal thesis on that subject.
Say that word one more time.
Theosophy. Theos, God, Sophie. That's Greek for wisdom. It's kind of confusing many times, because you have a Hebrew book. Most of you have a Hebrew book in your lap that's been dressed in Greek, and you don't know that. So when you're reading the Old Testament, most of you don't know that it was originally Hebrew but got dressed in Greek. And when you dress it in Greek, if you're looking at the book of Proverbs, if you're reading it from Hebrew, the word for wisdom is bina, which is masculine. But if you're reading it in Greek, the word for wisdom is sophia, feminine. Now, is there a problem with that? There isn't, if you can understand that the ancients thought in a different mode of thinking than we think. They thought in a mode that understood androgyny. We don't. I think in that series, Susan, is that first tape in that series the androgynous one?
Yes.
Yeah. On that particular tape, I try to lay a foundation of understanding the Adam, Eve, male, female, to understand the Esh and the Esha. My rubber brain is right here. To understand the 2 hemispheres of the brain, so that you can understand that you are male and female. Or if you're going to the Bible and you're looking up Adam and Eve, you can understand that you are Adam and Eve. You can understand that you are Sarah and Abram. You know, Abram sometimes said, she's my sister. And you got confused. What's wrong? Are you ashamed? No, because they were using a language that we aren't familiar with. Religion has made sure of that. And plus, the language has been altered and twisted, and words take on different meanings and things. So when Baum wrote that book, he had come out, or he wasn't out of this movement, he was a part of it. He was involved in the movement called Theosophy. And it lasted for probably 70 years, on up into the 40s, the late 30s and the 40s, and of course then a spin off of that. Anytime there's a tornado, or anytime there's something like we have experienced, and it's phenomenal that we experience all of this deluge of rain. When you look at the scriptures, you will see that happening continually, because the Bible and the number 7 and 12 are like a dance between God and matter. So you see those numbers constantly appearing when you study the Bible. And the 12 always has its fingers pointing at the astrology, or the astrological movement. Astronomy, the movement of the sun, the moon, the stars. And every one of you are water beings. You must know that. And the thing about water, here is the natural way water works. If you pour water in this floor right here, you will find the lowest point in this floor. Do you know why? Water naturally goes there. That's why you struggle against low times. That's why you struggle against moods that constantly pull you down. That's why that many times you want to throw the towel in and quit. It's because that's the nature of water. It always pulls you down. That's not wrong. You have to be sensitive, and you have to begin to understand who you are and the makeup of your being. You have to embrace those times. We want to fight those times. I mean, you know, I'm just like Barbara. I come through the Charismania movement, deliverance, casting out demons. We saw demons. See, a lot of people had speed demons. Yeah, makes you go fast. Makes you drive your car too fast. And I really had a problem with that speed demon because I like to drive fast. I grew up that way, and I'm still that way. I can't work on a car that has a hot cam in it. You know, that just does something to me inside. Right? My grandson, my oldest grandson, Josh, just bought a brand new 2015 Mustang GT, and of course, he don't have 5,000 miles on it, but he and I we've already beefed it up. We've done a lot of things. We've lowered it. It's sharp. We've already ripped the whole exhaust system off of a brand new car and put a different exhaust system on it. And so, of course, Papaw shows him how to shift this 6-speed so that he gets more bang for the buck. The first car that I built got me put in jail so many times. It was a 55 Chevrolet. Let's see, I actually have a picture of it. It's a car I built, and it was a 55 Chevrolet. There's a picture of it. If y'all want it, you can pass it around. And that was a very, very popular car in North Georgia back in 1964 and 65. That was a very popular car. It was known by most all the law enforcement because they had seen its taillights. Because back then, they didn't have what they have today. And most of the time, if they got after me, they couldn't catch me. And they didn't. In that car, I run moonshine from the mountains to Atlanta. So I did some things that I shouldn't have done, okay? Been down that path. So anyway, Coon, back to the Wizard of Oz and the inspiration of that song. But I see that in so many things. I can watch a normal movie and all of a sudden I begin to see certain things. So I told Mark, I have this hunger in me to reawaken the ancient theaters and get you to realize that that was not a place that people went to watch gory things happen. But it seems like today that's all they do is promote that kind of an idea. It was a place that everybody was so bloodthirsty, they just wanted to see somebody go down there and have their limbs torn off or pulled apart by a lion or a wild animal. That was not the purpose of those theaters. The purpose of those theaters were to tell the fabulous stories. The fabulous stories all had their root in the astrological movement of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the planets. And those stories were always trying to tell the story of the macrocosm and the microcosm. And that's exactly the story of you and me. Everything is based on that. And we have so much. There is a plethora of information that's available to us today. And I thank God that people are availing themselves and drawing that kind of information to themselves. So, The Wizard of Oz, I can just go on and on and on about the typologies that's in that movie. That movie is so rich with mythology. It is a rich, rich, rich. You go through it yourself and you will begin to pick up. The colors in that movie are phenomenal. The Emerald City, the color of green. color green. All of the chakras and their color combinations are phenomenal. And learning to pay attention to these colors, because these colors prophesy. They speak. They're used in Scripture. These colors also deal with colors of the interior of your physical body. Now, from a medical perspective, they are beginning to see that organs in your physical body actually are very colorful. And these colors, you know, it's a coincidence, joke, that these colors are and do correspond to the organs in the physical body as well as the characters in the Bible. That is just a phenomenal coincidence. Ha, ha, ha. No, it's all designed. It's all on purpose. So, you know, I could just get lost on trying to explain the colors in that movie and the uniqueness of that movie and the song that was written for that movie. That song actually become, and I think, now I'm not sure about this information, you can probably find this out, but I think that song become a world number one best-selling song at that period of time, and actually stayed on the top of the desire of the people. It was the number one song longer than any other song that's ever been sang. I believe that's, if it's not the... If it didn't stay up there the longest, it stays up there at the top. But it seems like there's not a song since that time that stayed in the top of the charts as long as that song. So there's a lot in that song, and that's why that song resonates very deeply with me. Okay, now then, let me read this and jump in here. The ancients conceived of divine spirit as descending into matter through 3 1/2 kingdoms. And of course, that's, you'll find this number in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation has nothing to do with end time events. And this is where I birthed my character called the Stick Man. And that has been 20-something years ago, probably all close to 25 years ago. I did a teaching on the book of Revelation. It took me 6 months. I just did a complete exegesis on the book of Revelation to show that it was a picture of the anatomy of a physical body or a man. And it used the man, Jesus, as a typology of all mankind, okay? Man and woman. So when you go into the book of Revelation, it is exactly a book about your physical body, how it's constructed. It's like I told you about the first 5 minutes of a movie, that if you miss it and you come in and you watch the movie and it comes to the climax and you're sitting there scratching and say, oh, I don't get it. I didn't understand that. That's what happens with Genesis 1. Because many don't know that is a panoramic view of the climax of the thing. It's how the thing works. That's exactly why God said, you have dominion. He did not give it to some man and then took it away because they made a mistake and a different man in Genesis 2 and 3. Genesis 2 and 3 is how this man is constructed, woman, person, is constructed as the temple, the vessel, the thing that God moves in through the earth. So Genesis and Revelation are two sides of the same coin. Reaching its nadir, and that's such a, for me, that's such a perfect word. That's why I love this man. This man had such a command of the English language. You have to have a dictionary if you're going to read this guy. You cannot read him without a dictionary, because he had such a command of the English language. He knew exactly what he was doing with each word where he placed it when he placed it. When he placed that word nadir there, he knew what he was doing. Because I want you to, I mean, you know, you can just simplify that word and just say it's its lowest point. But when you hear it in the context of how he sets it, it's phenomenal. So he says it reaches its nadir, and the word nadir is the point of the celestial sphere that is directly opposite the zenith and vertically downward from the observer. If you can hear that, it's saying that God is setting up here and he's watching what's happening and he's sending something downward through this 3.5 kingdoms. He wants to see it reach its apex or bottom. But it's not going there just to be alone. Let me read you a little further. Return, then it says expression of the middle, the nadir, a full manifestation, full manifest expression in the middle of the fourth. And then returning with its fruits of experience to its celestial home. It's saying God is watching as an observer and he's coming down and he's getting all of these experiences. Some of them you're going to call good. Some of them you're going to call bad. Some of them you're going to call wonderful. Some of them you're going to call horrible. They're necessary. They are a part of your journey. Embrace them. Do not reject those moments when you feel like you are in the pit of hell. You are there for a divine purpose. There is a fruit of that that you will have to take back to the middle kingdom. And at the middle kingdom, God begins to take it up. And as God begins to take it back up to his kingdom, he begins to spew it forth with the seed of manifestation.
Those things are the partner of the dance.
And it's all about the dance. It's all about the dance. That's where I'm headed. So, let me back up here and get this again. From reaching its nadir, the full manifest expression in the middle of the fourth, and then returning with its fruits of experience. Its fruits of experience. This is one of the greatest reasons that God created this dimension called the earth was for its own experience. It needed, it wanted, it desired, it longed to experience this. Yes, the good and the bad. To its celestial home through the same three kingdoms in reverse order. From top down, these 3.5 kingdoms might be denominated the Nirvanic, Atmic, Buddhic, and intellectual, those are Hindu terms, or perhaps super spiritual, spiritual, intuitional, and mental. The outward or downward progress of spirit or God through these 3.5 states of consciousness was the emanation of soul into matter. Did you hear that? What it said is, through that downward flow of this energy, it was God bringing himself to this point as spirit soul to deposit himself in you. In you. In you as him. And what it was him coming to create a partnership with you to dance with you for the rest of your life. And that dance is so beautiful that you do get out of step many times and do not know that you have a partner that will embrace you and pull you and nurture you right back into rhythm. But you get out of rhythm constantly until you learn to dance. Wow. And when you've seen people that are skilled at a dance, you've seen a couple. And let me say something to you about a dance. A dance, really, to enjoy it, requires a partner. Yeah. It's not just something that somebody gets out and does. No, you require a partner to dance with. And when you dance with that partner, that is a beautiful, beautiful. How many of you saw The Horse Whisperer? Dear God. He's had her out there. You tell me they didn't make love. Right there. Do you think God is not making love with you when you are at your lowest and your most horrible point? Oh, he is. He has you in such an embrace. And it's time that we are awakening to this beautiful, beautiful fact. So the outward or the downward progress of spirit, God, through these 3.5 kingdoms of consciousness was the emanation of soul into matter or embodiment of which all of the ancient scriptures spoke about. all of them spoke about this thing. And this is one of the reasons that with so much energy and emphasis, this enlifes me. I experience this. I see this. I feel this. And I can't do it without. I try to say, now calm down, Lynn. Don't be so. Be nice. At the same time, the life in the still inchoate Adam began an evolution from below upward. Now what he's talking about is right here. And I'm not going to have time, and I wanted to talk a lot about this, but I will talk a little bit about this. Mark has taken his scales of justice out. And if I had, I'm just going to play on the fact that I think that most of you do know some things about astrology. The sign of Libra. Does anybody know what the sign of Libra is? I'm sorry? The scales of justice. Okay. The scales of justice. Okay, this is Libra. If I did the seven golden candelabra, which I did it the other day, it would be this. It's the signs of the zodiac. Okay? It always deals with the seven. It's always the head. Okay? Always, always. This information, this wisdom, you can't debunk this wisdom. There's nothing you can do with it. You can't move it. You can't change it. This wisdom is set in socket in the heavens. You can't change it. You can do anything you want to with it, but you can't change it. It's just simply there. It's a picture of you. It's a divine picture of you. This is one of the most misunderstood aspects of the physical body that we have. Most misunderstood aspects of the physical body. But this thing is all through Scripture. But yet we miss it. And what we do when we miss it is we create laws, we create judgments, we create things that never were meant to be. But we did it anyway. So when you get to the sign of Libra, the sign of Libra is a picture of the pelvic bone. And the pelvic bone is that which is balanced by the gonads. That's not good or bad or right or wrong. That's just a simple fact. The pelvic bones is that place of balance. Judgment should have been translated as balance, so that when you can understand balance, you can walk. When you don't understand balance or something interferes with your ability to balance, it hinders your ability to walk. And so the scales of justice, which are right here, Libra, have to do with your pelvic bone and your ability to walk and be upright. Because that's how God designed you to walk in its judgment. So that if you understand, God's judgment is based off balance. It's not based off law like you and me have it. We try to do judgment based off law because we didn't know how to read the book of Leviticus. So what we did is we back through a judicial and a political system, we went right back to the book of Leviticus, and we did establish the laws of the land that we live by, which are many of the things that bind us, and we don't realize how bound we are. And so we do things that are common and natural that sometimes aren't based off judgment, they're based off law, because you did or you didn't did. Because you didn't figure my concept of who and what you should be. I mean, you know, one of the things that's really grappling with a lot of people today, because the political system finally said, well, it's okay for a gay couple to get married. And boy, a lot of people are having a problem with that, aren't they? Aren't they? Why? Because, you know, you're trying to say it's just not natural. It may not be natural for you. It may be for them. There again, coming back to what we would call as judgment, which is really a sign of understanding the balance, understanding who you are, because see, this is you. This is a picture of you. All of these, you know, the Gemini, the twins, Cancer, the lungs, Leo, the heart, Virgo, the womb, the belly, Libra, the pelvic, the gonads. And then if you go over here and you do endocrine glands, you got the same thing. If you put your endocrine glands, you got the exact same thing as you have over here on the astrological chart. You come over here and do your chakra system, you have exactly the same thing. There's not any difference. All of these harmonize. They harmonize by design and by own purpose. So as you begin to see it, you begin to realize this is a picture of me. What is the picture about? It's a picture showing me how I can balance in the dance. And as I learn to balance in the dance, I will be able to discern where I am and what I'm doing. And then I don't judge anything. Paul says, I don't even judge myself. Jesus said, judge no one. And yet you were taught, this young man, bless his darling heart, my heart just went so out to him. And I so appreciate Barbara being obedient to call us to come and to do something that we sometimes throw all of the things out with one movement that we should embrace when we move into another movement. Someone asked me, do I pray in tongues more than ye all? It may not be the way I did it in Charismania. No, we haven't had a message in our church given in tongues in years. It has not been necessary. I haven't chased demons in years. It has not been necessary.
Right. Amen.
So, at the same time, the life and still in the still inchoate Adam began an evolution from below upward. You know, let me show you what that said. It collected what it did. It says that it collected what you have to take back to God as the fruit of your labor to give it to God so that God can bring fruit from it. That's exactly what it's saying. And many times the fruit of your labor is out of the pain and out of the abuse and out of the neglect and out of the things that have happened in you as you've danced through your life. And you take it back and God produces more of that. And you wonder why all the hell keeps showing up in my life. Take a different offering.
Yes.
Offer a different seed. If all you have is misery to take up to the middle kingdom, then what you will get back is misery. And God is doing that because He's not thinking. He said, this is what you offered me.
Wow.
You create your own world. It's designed to be that way. If you are not in harmony with it and you don't necessarily flow with the way it is, you change it.
Right.
Don't wait on a Savior from on high to come and do it for you. Don't pray a prayer, oh God, if you don't, I can't. Bullshit. If you don't, He won't. Nobody can change it but you. And I promise you, you can walk this way your whole life. I know a lot of miserable old people. And they don't have to be. They've carried that pain and that offering back up so many years and they don't know any different. Especially in religious bondage. I mean, you know, my heart breaks when I hear Mark and I hear Avis and I hear this young man. I was not contaminated, thank God, with that kind of religiosity. I thank God I wasn't. But my heart breaks when I hear those things. Because and to get free from it, it's not just a matter of saying, oh, I'm just going to shake it off, is it, Avis? No. I have a tremendous gift. I can look at you and I can discern many things that's happening in your life and has happened to you. And especially women who have experienced certain abuses. And I don't say that to flaunt something to you. And you probably will hardly ever see me even say anything to you or even acknowledge that. Because I stopped doing that 25, 30 years ago because I couldn't bear witness in my heart with that kind of charismania. That become more into witchcraft and clairvoyant acts to me than anything I had ever seen. And I see so many people. I had people, we had a large charismatic church. I mean, I was a hell of a charismatic preacher. I could rapture you in a minute. I mean, you know, we were on the way up. But I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. My studies and my research says, this is not right. This is wrong. But I have seen so many wonderful families contaminated with prophecies and things, thus saith God. Oh, I have seen them do so many things that damage homes. And I got to a place I wouldn't even permit it to happen in my fellowship. I would love some of the people who come in. I said, no, we're not going to go there. And you might think I'm being wrong or judgmental with that. I wasn't. At least in my heart, I wasn't. Because I've seen too many lives affected and what they had to take back. And you know what many of them had to take back up to the middle kingdom? They had to, but God, you said and you promised and it ain't happened. And I've been waiting here. I had one couple that their daughter got hit in a car accident, a drunk run a traffic light in Tulsa. She was going to ORU and the car hit and didn't hurt her body at all, but banged her head on the window and busted the side of her head and put her in a coma. 15 years later, she is still in that coma. Her father is my pianist. He actually come out of Ma Bill's church, one of the best piano players I've ever seen, sung with many gospel groups. And I seen people go in until I got to the point, and I pulled them aside. I said, Art and Carol, don't let these people come in here and prophesy over you and her. Enjoy her. They brought her home. They actually, their whole life become a life of keeping her alive. And they did that. They kept her alive for 15 years. But then she finally was able to make that crossover. But the damage and the devastation was horrendous. Huh. Okay. It was the Greek descent of the soul. At the same time, the life in still inchoate Adam began an evolution from below upward and it too progressed onward through 3 1/2 kingdoms of nature, mineral, vegetable, animal, and animal human. And all he did right there when he said that is he broke down the first chapter of Genesis into 4 segments, because that's basically what it does, 4 segments of overview to show you the different things that this dimension will offer you. And so, and then he said, landing in the middle of the fourth kingdom where it met and co-joined its physical energies with the unit of divine potency that had come down from above, because it's only the divine potency that will take this human energy and give fruit to it. Here at a common meeting place, the two, if you haven't read this book, Dr. Hawkins, Power versus Force, you need to read that book. That book gives a chart, uses kinesiology, uses kinesiology, muscle testing, to balance energies. And you can do it. You can do it all different kinds of ways. You can do kinesiology, which is just muscle testing to see if your body resonates with something that you may be. If you'll try kinesiology with any kind of diet drink, you realize your body does not want it. Your body says, hell no, I don't want that. I don't even drink that stuff. No, that's killing me. That's killing me. Quit putting that in me. Don't do that. So you need to read Dr. Hawkins' book, Power versus Force, and he will make it very clear to you that force is that which human energy does. It's what tries to judge and manipulate things all in the physical arena, brings it to this middle kingdom where power begins to take it. Power is always love. Power is always driven by love. The force that we think of, and we really bang these two words around because we just don't understand. The church system, the all religious systems, keeps you in force where you are. And in the kinesiology chart, he shows you have to get to a level of 200 before you can ever move out. At 200, you actually come to courage. And it's at courage where you can begin to take charge of your life at courage. I know it takes courage. It takes courage for you to come down here and listen to this crazy guy. I know that. I realize that. Who you mean? I heard the Lynn Hayes. Oh, God. You better watch him. And I realize that. But at 200, you can begin to move into a different. And there's not any church or religious system on the face of the earth that can reach the level of 200. They will stop you dead. Because everything below 200 is driven by fear. Fear being actually the lowest. I believe it's the lowest energy. It seems like it vibrates around 30 or 40. I'm not sure. It's been a long, long time since I read it.
Death is 25 is below fear. It's 25. Death.
It's death.
Death.
And power versus force says shame is the lowest.
Shame is the lowest. Shame vibrates around 25 or 30, doesn't it? And what does the church do? What does the church do? Put you in shame. Do you know why it puts you in shame? Because you go before the church saying, you know I'm guilty. Bless God, I'm guilty. Do you know why you have that attitude? Because you have a wrong concept of what judgment is. You don't understand what balance is. No, what happened to you was necessary, going back to what Nick was talking about. A lot of things that we have in our life are necessary, but what are they necessary for? They're necessary for your awakening.
That's right.
And many times, you can awaken at any place in the journey if you learn to embrace that pain.
Yeah.
Instead of rebuking it and casting it out and getting rid of it and God will come help me. Right. And all of those things. Learning to embrace things without attachment. We get so attached. We get attached to mates. We get attached to dogs. Animals, cats. We are people with attachments. We get into so many attachments. God doesn't. You and I do. The attachments are some of the low energies of forces that we take back and say, oh God, I'm so... And we do that. I'm not saying anything right, wrong about that. We do that. Many of those pains and things we go through are necessary for our awakening. But I am saying that you do not have to suffer as long as you suffer.
That's right.
Sometimes one night is plenty. And in Jesus' case, he said 3 hours. Actually, it wasn't 3 hours. Actually, he said 6 hours was enough. You know why? Because on the fourth watch, and you have to pay attention to the fourth watch, that's the fourth kingdom. He says, on the fourth watch, he said, it's done. It's all right. You guys go back to sleep. It's done. That's around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Are you getting it? Here at a common place, a common meeting place, the two, power, force, spirit, matter, press ahead into opposite directions, but toward each other. Press ahead in opposite directions, but toward each other. Meeting in the Middle Kingdom. Lord of the Rings. Yes. Middle Earth.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, you know, boy, they have squeezed the juice out of that one.
Yep.
They've gone way beyond me in that one now. But, I mean, all these movies, whoa, something. Press ahead into opposite directions, but toward each other. Combine in what the old scriptures universally denominate as a marriage. Marriage in our idea of marriage and marriage in scriptural idea of marriage are two different things. The marriage that God speaks about is the marrying of yourself with yourself. The marrying of the androgynous one. The marrying of Esh and Esha. The marrying of what you would think of as Adam and Eve. But that takes place in you. It doesn't take place with a man or a woman. You can enjoy a man or a woman. I almost said that right, didn't I?
Close enough.
I would get in trouble if I... But it's not talking about that. A true marriage is where you begin to unite and dance with your Maker. That's a true marriage. When you enter into that, then you experience peace and harmony and joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I tell you what, some people have to go through two or three or four marriages in this dimension to ever find a partner that they have both joined that place to get bliss. And if you have found that, you are blessed abundantly. How many in here have ever experienced divorce? Probably half or better, maybe. Painful, painful thing, isn't it? That's what I can feel. I can feel that young man's experience. You know why? Been there, walked through it. Hurtful, painful, ripping apart. Here at a common meeting place, the two, power and force, not verses, but power and force, spirit matter, pressing ahead in opposite directions but toward each other, combine in what the old scripture universally dominate as a marriage, from which is to come the progeneration of the next surge or the cycle of the ongoing life. That's what this meeting's about. That's what the shift is about. It is at this meeting point of spirit, matter, soul, body, that all meaning and all value are localized. Soul descends halfway from the summit of being, and matter rises halfway from the bottom, and the two, the twain, meet, and at the only place their energies can be synchronized and eventually harmonized, which is just exactly at the middle point in the seven levels of the gamut of being. For man, the meeting point is right in his body, heart, and brain. Whew. Everything he wrote is that way. But again, you need a dictionary to read it because he uses some really profound words. Now, I'm not getting anywhere near where I would like to have gotten or where I'm trying to get to because is everything okay with everybody? Okay. I want to read you from a book. This is called The Lost Books of the Bible. These books were circulated. These books were in circulation in the first century, in which what you and I would call was birth this movement. We call it the church. Then it was just simply called the Way. It was a movement. It was birthed out of the Essene community, which was rooted in Gnosticism and Kabbalah. So the Essene community was made up of a multi-group of people that's very hard to understand because of their lifestyle and the way that they live. So there's a lot of onlookers that take a lot of criticism of this community of Essenes. But what was happening for 400-500-600 years from 300 BC on up into around 300 or 400 AD was there was a phenomenal move of an immersion of religions, ideas, and concepts together. So they moved all, and out of that is where Christianity was birthed. The true origin of Christianity is in the root of marrying all concepts to be one. The whole story about Jesus is to merge and to marry ideas that have God that God deposited all over the earth into one energy system. And so that energy system that was moving like a brush fire that could not be quenched and could not be stopped, it took the Catholic Church from the middle of the second century until the middle of the fourth century to put the brakes on that. And the way they did it was they politically put it together in Rome under one energy. They married politics and religion so that it become the Catholic Church, headed up by Constantine, one of the most ruthless and godless men that existed. And through that, they began to kill and murder anything and everything that did not succumb to their Nicene Council or creed. And ever since that time, for 1700 years, you have been indoctrinated in a creed that says, I believe. Prior to that, That did not exist. It didn't exist in the movement in which all of this material was snuffed out in. So, this is out of the Acts of John, which was a book circulating in the first and second century, until they thought they had gotten all of them and burnt them. But there were some wise people in the Assyrian community buried them in places. And I say this, the earth is still filled. The earth is pregnant with information that it is giving up right now. There are archaeological finds all over the world that are beginning to debunk what you and me have been deceived of for 1700 years. And I think it's phenomenal. You can't stop it. So now, this, an Ogdoad. An Ogdoad is, if I took this.
Say it again.
Ogdoad, O-G-D-O-D. If I took this and put it, instead of going around with it like that, I did it that way, I would create the beginning of an Ogdoad. You can Google this on your phone. If you will Google your phone under the path of the sun, you will see this is the path of the sun in a year. This is what creates the seasons. It creates the figure eight as it begins to move and wobble, what we call the wobble. That wobble creates the figure eight, which is the Ogdoad. And the Ogdoad is that which married itself to the seven. It's the eighth. The eighth is the in. In Hebrew, the in is the vast nothingness. It is God. It is the better understanding. Genesis chapter 1, the Elohim is not a real good definition for God. Elohim means the power of seven. Elohim, with the heme, the meme, is just like saying, if I wrote this up here, what would you think? What would you think? You would say, Brother Lynn, do you seem there's more than one God? Yeah.
You've got to take that apostrophe out. There is one God.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I need you. Thank you. What would you think? That's the word Elohim. That is the word Elohim in Genesis 1. The word Elohim in Genesis 1 is about gods. It's about the gods. Who are the gods? They are these seven spheres, these seven energies that create this part of your physical body. They are the gods. And there's 12 of them. And the whole Bible is about them. The whole Bible is a book about the gods. But you have been told we only have one God, bless God. And that one God, bless God, is Jehovah God. Which Jehovah are just the carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen. Which is not even a name, not even a personality. It's a formula. If I put up here, and I said, well, that's Daryl's name. And you said, that's Daryl's name. Is that how you spell Daryl? H2O? What is that? That's a formula. It's a formula, isn't it? What is it a formula for? Can you drink from that?
Yes.
You can, but you have to have the real substance. Other than that, it's just words.
Oh.
It's just words. If I were to tear that off of a piece of paper and just said, here, have a drink, and you rolled it up, there ain't nothing there. I said, I know, it's just words. It's just letters. It's just numbers. And that's pretty much what you and I have been taught to do. Drinking from ink on a page. And they said, that's God's word. And I said, no, it isn't. The Ogdoad is the dance. It's where the eighth has married itself to the seven. Now listen to it. I'm going to read it. The Ogdoad is singing with us. Amen. The 12 number is dancing above. Amen. The whole universe takes part in the dance. Amen. He who does not dance does not know what is being done. Amen.
Wow.
I will flee and I will say, Amen. I will adore and I will be adored. Amen. I will be united and I will unite. Amen. I have no house and I have houses. Amen. I have no place and I have places. Amen. I have no temple and I have temples. Amen. I am a lamp to you who see me. Amen. I am a mirror to you who perceive. Amen. I am a door to you who knock. Amen. I am a way to you, wayfarer. Amen. Now, if you respond to my dancing, see yourself in me who speaks. And when you have seen what I do, keep silent about my mysteries. Don't go tell anybody. This is about me and you. Come ahead. It's going to fit here. Perfect. Let me. I had asked Mark if I reach a point that something, because he had mentioned.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Just two verses. One is Philippians, and many of you are not familiar with the Bible, and many of you have been abused with the Bible. So hopefully this will give you a different light and a healing. In Philippians 1:19, it says, and we read this in common everyday language and we miss the mysteries of it. It says, and I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through prayers and provision, the King James says, of the Spirit. This Greek word was a word that meant that when they would do a dance or a play in Greek theater, there would be someone who would come up and begin to supply, and they would go on the road with this Greek plays, these myths, these things. This was the one that supplied. And Paul used that Greek word to talk about the supply and the dance of the Spirit. This is a Greek word that means epi, E-P-I, always means higher plane of the dance. So this is someone who comes in and imparts a divine intrusion to bring the dance to another level. The other word is Matthew chapter 12. I've been beat up with this verse many, many years because people didn't know what it meant.
11:12.
Because we didn't know the difference between spirit and matter. The Hebrew and Greek idea of matter is different, and we don't know these because we study words, not ways of thinking. Mark 11 says, and y'all have heard this 100 times, come to me all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The
Matthew
verse in the Message Bible is, I will give you the unforced rhythms of grace. Take my yoke upon you. Yoke is zoga. It's from the Sanskrit word yoga. Upon you and learn from me, and I will give you gentle and humble in heart. My good friend Jonathan Mitchell, who translates in this one, does not have the word cross. He has the word balance beam. So the cardinal cross comes together with the yoga, which in Sanskrit is the union of sound, and it comes into the unforced rhythms of grace. Now, this same Greek word is the same Greek word used when it says, speak the truth in love, that every joint supplieth. That's the same Greek word. Take that Greek word, and what does he say? Speak the truth in love. Let me give you my definition of truth. It is truth, reality, the unveiled reality that lies beyond all appearance. And this is Dr. Zodiates, okay? I didn't find this in a New Age bookstore. The variable essence of matter, the reality that lies beyond all matter. So when you begin to understand, let me translate it for you. When you understand, come unto me, and I will give you the balance beam, the cardinal cross, to bring you to the scales of justice, the Egyptian mayat, complete harmony. I will give you the unforced rhythms of grace, and you will come into the yoga, the understanding of sound. That's out of the Greek and Hebrew, and we read it in English, and we think he's talking about taking some cross upon our back and bearing it, which I did for years. No, he's talking about come to the union of the dance. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Thank you. Do you understand that now?
Yes.
Here's the cross. It's the middle kingdom. It's that place where you bring. It's that place where the dance. It's the floor. It's where you're at. You could actually call it the threshing floor. Reading from another one of my mentors, teachers. The Jewish patriarchs taught that the human body was the microcosm or little cosmos made in the image of the macrocosm or the great cosmos. This analogy between finite and infinite is said to be one of the keys by the aid of which the secrets of Holy Writ are unlocked. There is no doubt that the Old Testament is a physiological and anatomical book. Did you hear that? That's one of the places that I birthed the phrase, the Bible is a medical mystery book. It is about your physiology, your psychology. It's about how the two, the twain, dance and make one. There is no doubt that the Old Testament is a physiological, anatomical textbook to those capable of reading it from a scientific point of view. Now, what was that term, John, that I'm supposed to remember and right now?
Conundrum.
Yeah, it is a conundrum. No, it was a new word that you told me that. I am an astrophysicist. So if you would like to know what I do and what I am, I'm an astrophysicist. So I'm taking the physicality of your being and the astrological picture of what and who God is, and I'm merging them. And I'm not doing that. The Bible did that. So to those people who've thrown it off and discarded it and said, I can't read it because it confuses me, I do sympathize and I do understand what you're saying. But I would encourage you to pick it back up and plow through it again and look at it, because it is one of the most phenomenal energy books that we have got. Bar none, period. So, let me see if I can finish this. The functions of the human body, the attributes of the human mind, and the qualities of the human soul have been personified by the wise men of the ancient world. A great drama has been built around their relationships to themselves and to each other, to the great Egyptian demigod Hermes. So most of this great wisdom, and I'll just quit at that point, goes back to Hermes Trismegistus. And the caduceus that I drew on the board yesterday, which most of you are familiar with the caduceus, and someone had asked me to put the caduceus up there. Let me do that real quickly and try to tie this up. Try to put it together.
Lynn, what was that book you were just reading from?
That was Manly P. Hall's Occult Anatomy of the Human Body. Manly P. Hall. If you don't have Manly P. Hall, I actually checked in on his, he has a University of Physiological Research. It's called the UPR. You can actually do a course from him, or you can actually get a doctorate if you would like so in most any field that exists. Now, he's been dead for many, many years, but yet his university continues to go on as a very, very valid and successful university. And so, and I thank God for that, because of his wisdom and his information. He was such a prolific writer. I think books and pamphlets he wrote, probably somewhere up close to 200 books and pamphlets. And a lot of them I have, a lot of them I will have. But I actually looked into going or taking a course from him some 20 or 30 years ago. Manly P. Hall, Cult Anatomy. He has many, many, many.
Occult.
See,
people think that's a cult, not a.
Well, there's just a tremendous misunderstanding. I would encourage every one of you, look up the word occult and the word cult. It does not mean what you think it means if you've been indoctrinated with religion. If we would just learn to look in a dictionary, well, I've been told. I mean, bless God. I mean, I studied all of Dr. Walton Martin's occult books, and I learned that those things were of the devil. I did too. I did too, thank you. Been there and read that. Okay, let me come back to the Bible and try to, I mean, I'm going to put the Caduceus up there. Thought I forgot. There it is. Okay. Oh. Okay, this is what that we will call the serpent on the pole. And it's pictured by two snakes. And one of the reasons they use two snakes, if you go to many, 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 many of the ancient religions, use the serpent as a symbol of God. It was always used as a symbol of higher energy source. Matter of fact, if you go down to Cancun, and go to the temples, the Mayan temples, which I've been there, and stand before some of their temples. You can stand before their temple, one person, and you can do this, and the echo back from the temple is the sound of the Quetzalcoatl bird. It sings back to you. That noise makes the sound of a bird that resonates off the design of that pyramid. That comes back to you. Has anybody ever been there and done that, heard that?
Wow.
Is that not the most phenomenal thing you've ever done?
Wow.
I couldn't hardly believe that. How in the hell did this go to? And this bird, this particular bird that's in that area, it's not anywhere else. When it flies in the sky, it flies like a serpent crawling on the ground. And that's why it's called a flying serpent. So when you read about these things, flying serpents, every one of you are scared out of a snake. And you shouldn't be. We've been taught to be. You should reverence certain snakes and respect snakes, but we've been taught that they're bad. And so every one of you have been taught that it was that snake in the garden, right? And he stood upright, and his little tongue slithered out and says, shouldn't do that. God's watching you. You're going to get in trouble. Didn't God say that? I'm going to twist God's word. Well, that what you were told? A snake walked upright and could talk. Have you ever met a talking snake? You know why? They don't talk. Oh, but Brother Lynn, that one did. No, it didn't. No, didn't talk. No. Boy, are we gullible. You know, we throw stones at some of the things that we would call the occult or the witchcraft and the other things. But man, when you go to church, you believe some really dumb things if you just sit and think about it. It doesn't have any solid, sound logic or reason at all in it. But we don't dare do that. So the Caduceus, this symbol goes back to Hermes. Of course, you know, this is a sign or a symbol of a doctor, and a doctor that gets his medical degree in different types of medicines. And of course, this is the head of the serpent, and always he's up here at this point, and he's always in the picture of the symbol. He's there with his mouth open. And where he has his mouth open to is this place right here in your brain, little bitty thing right here about the size of a pea in your brain. It's called the pineal gland. It's the eye of God. You see some Hindu people with a little dot right here in their head? Yeah. That's what they're symbolizing, that they are seeing with one eye, single eye. That's what Jesus was using. Jesus, again, using Sanskrit up in Matthew 5 and 6 when he's talking about the parable on the mountain, when he's talking about being single-eyed, that's what he's referring to. He's referring to this right here. This is where the serpent is eating at. Why? Because that's where all the wisdom and knowledge of the world is at. It's in that little gland right there. It's a pineal gland. And the way you activate it is through meditation, through silence. That's what prayer is. That's what Jesus, when he said, watch and pray. What did he say? What did he mean, watch and pray? He didn't mean go on the back porch and see if Jesus is coming back in the sky. Golly bum. Have you ever done that? A lot of people used to go afraid to go to bed because they're afraid, well, I'm not watching. What if he comes tonight? Like a thief. Watch and pray. Enter into silence. Enter into that place. Why? Silence. This the mind of God speaks to you. Okay, I'm all over the board. Okay.
Do a little bit of a time crunch, Lynn. Just clock's running.
Yeah, I need to close it down. Let's do this. Let me take you to Genesis chapter 2 and read you this. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman. An androgynous one. This is I-S-H-A-H. Asha. That's the word that's used there for woman. This is I-S-H. Esh. This is fire. That's what God is. God is a consuming fire. This is bride of fire. Esh is fire. It's God. It's how God enters into the physical body as lightning. That's why in the synapse, the top of your brain, the synapse is firing constantly. That's when you think so much, you have so much going on. It's the fire, it's the light that energizes, gives this whole body its electrical, magnetic energy of being. And it marries, it merges, it becomes androgynous. It merges itself with the Esha. In Hebrew, that's what it's saying. It's not saying that God caused this particular man to go to sleep with some kind of an anesthetic, dripped a rib out of him, and said, now I'm going to take this, and I'm going to build this woman, and he's going to wake up and say, oh, wow, look here. No, it's where God began to merge the androgynous one and make love with itself, marry itself, and the two, the twain, become one and then begin to live and walk in the earth. To be continued. Okay? To be continued.
We've got to wrap it up. The contract is at 1 o'clock. We wrap up. Take 15 minutes.